Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. These are the words that the Apostle John opens his gospel, his account of Jesus' life with. And he talks about darkness. Darkness is something that we all can see going on around us in this world and in our own lives. Darkness can be represented by a feeling of hopelessness that many of us carry. You see it when you look around the world, when you turn on the news, you hear about the hopeless situation we're in, you know. They release report after report about how we're now in dire straits when it comes to the environment, that we've gotten to the point of no return, that there's just no way, we're doomed. We look at the economy. We look at potentially rising interest rates. We scrape to get by in life. We work hard just to make ends meet, but the culture tells us that we need more, more, more. Darkness. And in this darkness, we want hope. And to find hope, we go to people, other people who live in this same darkness that we do, who are still stumbling around in the dark, trying to figure out where they can go. And they claim to offer some kind of hope, and yet they're in the same darkness we are. Darkness, we live in distress. Darkness comes about as a result of sin. Again, if you turn on the news to CNN or something like that and you hear about the latest thing to go on, you watch American newscasts and you hear about the latest school shooting, darkness. We live in a world of darkness. It's in this world. For many of us, it's in our lives. And it's into our darkness that Jesus came. Jesus is the light coming into the world, and it's this light that has come that is what we celebrate at Christmas time. And so John starts off his gospel by telling us about who Jesus is, about the full divinity of Jesus. And this is a powerful thing that we need to understand as John unpacks this, that this isn't a man that we're talking about, but that Jesus is God. Because God lives, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God in three uncreated, eternal, co-equal persons. And what this means for each of us is that when Jesus came to earth, he wasn't just a mere representative of God. Okay, he wasn't just someone that God tagged and was like, you know what, you're going to do my work. Jesus wasn't just a prophet sent to warn people or to share good teachings with people. He's not someone that we just point to as just another human, but that God had a special relationship with him. No, Jesus, we're told, is God. He was with God and he is God. All things are created in him. This is a powerful truth because it means that the eternal God came to earth to reconcile his rebellious creation back to himself. Hear me. It's not that God decided that he would work through someone in order to make himself feel better because we're bad people. It's that God himself loves us so much that he was willing to sacrifice himself, to throw himself into this dark world to bring us back to him. the light has come. And that light is Jesus. It can be tempting, though, as we look at things, to think that God must have made some kind of mistake. I mean, for God to have to come to earth and die on a cross, man, there had to be some kind of mix-up when he created us. You know what I mean? We start to think, like, nobody would plan this, would they? And yet the truth of the gospel, the narrative that we read as God reveals to us the creation of the world and his plans for us and who he is, comes down to the fact that Jesus coming to earth is not an afterthought that had to come about to fix things. Jesus' birth and later his death and resurrection, they were always part of the plan. Always part of the plan. In fact, before the world was created, God's good plan to rescue us was Jesus coming to earth. Imagine that. Before the world was created, God's good plan to rescue us was Jesus coming to earth. Before God said, "Let there be light," there were already plans for Jesus to come. It was already in the works. God already knew what was going to happen. Because God loves us so much that he planned out exactly what would need to happen in order to bring us into a relationship with him. I remember, it's got to be about 12 and a half years now. My wife could tell me the exact date. I have to admit that I don't remember it at all. There came a point in my relationship with my wife, Embry, that I realized I wanted to marry this girl. And that it was time to ask the big question. And, you know, living for a while, I don't know why I said living for a while, but anyways, going out for a while for a number of years, we'd had times where we'd stopped in at, you know, Spence's Diamonds in Vancouver and taken a look at rings and all that kind of stuff, you know, go to different diamonds. Oh, this one's so pretty. No, this one's not. And all that. And, you know, you're banking things in your mind. You're just paying attention to it all. And so I remember there came a time I'm like, I'm going to propose to this girl. So I, you know, went to the ring store and decided on what I was going to buy. I'd been saving for a while, putting some cash away, and so I bought this ring. They're expensive, you know that? Yeah, so I bought this ring. And then I remember that I wanted to make things just this perfect experience, right? And so I knew that we took a lot of walks around a park in Abbotsford where we were living at the time called Mill Lake. That's basically a duck swamp if you've never been to Abbotsford. I'm told it used to be nice. It's not really anymore. But this is where we used to go. And so I did some scouting on my own, and I found this really nice location, just the perfect place to propose. And so I picked that out, and then I began to plan things, just intricate detail, you know. And I went out and I bought one of those fancy picnic blankets that has a semi-waterproof bottom because it was BC. And if you've ever lived in the Fraser Valley or visited there, you know it's wet. And so just in case, you know, got one that could handle a little bit of water that looked really nice. I picked up one of those, you know, wicker picnic baskets that came with stemware and fancy cutlery and all of this stuff. And I made some good food and bought a nice pie because I wasn't going to try my hand at pie. And, you know, I got it all together, had the sparkling apple cider. And then I had to put some more details together. So I took my parents out to this place, right? And I showed them exactly how I wanted everything to be laid out. I'm like, you know, this is where I want you to put each of the 3 or 4 dozen carnations that I've got. And this is where I want the picnic basket to be and the blanket and all of this. And we're going to be around here at this time. And so at this time, I need you out of here, but not before that so that nobody comes and co-opts my picnic. You know what I mean? Somebody else comes around the corner and suddenly a guy proposed and didn't even know he was. Didn't want that to happen. And so we planned everything out. And so I remember, you know, we're going and we're walking around Mill Lake and I'm trying to avoid that part of the park until it's the right time. We're walking along and finally I see that the clock is getting towards that time. So we make our way over there. Now, I gotta say that it seems to me upon reflection that it's a very good thing that I went to all this effort with the intention of proposing, because it seems that there's something in a girl's mind that kind of sees something like this and goes, I know what's going to happen. You know, so if you're online watching, guys, or if anybody is here and you're thinking about doing something special for someone, just make sure that, you get with the right program, that you're not sending the wrong message. But, you know, we have our meal. She's just beaming. And then I remember we're getting to dessert. And so as I reach in to grab the pie, I also grabbed the ring box that I had hidden underneath the pie. And I had it behind my back. And I was like, do you want some pie? And at that moment, I pressed the little release switch on the ring box. And she heard it. And basically what I'm doing right now, the stammering is all that was coming out of her mouth. At that point, apparently I had ruined the whole surprise of the thing. Pie was no longer something we were going to eat, apparently. Now, I did this not because there was this serious problem in our relationship and I figured the only way that she would ever say yes to me is if I went out and did all of this stuff. Right? My plans weren't done because I had to go out and fix a mistake that I'd made, but my plans were done because I love her. And I wanted to show my love to her. And what we have to understand is we read about Jesus being the light that comes into the world, about him being the light that dispels the darkness, is that he's not an afterthought, but that in fact God knew the cost of creating people who can freely choose how to live their lives. If you've ever watched a lot of, really any sci-fi, you may have come across one or two episodes where, you know, somebody ends up taking some kind of a potion or fantasy, I guess, some kind of potion, a love potion, and then they realize that making this person love them in this way, it's just unfulfilling because the person doesn't have a choice in the matter. Or you've seen something where there's some kind of alien thing that happens and the person's forced to love someone else, or a robot is made to love someone. And in the end, it always turns out the same. It's unsatisfying because it's not real. Real love requires the ability to say no. It requires a choice. And so God created people who could choose how to live their lives knowing what would happen, knowing that we would reject him, knowing that we would push him away. God chose to create us as free people anyway, knowing the price that he would gladly pay. He loves us that much. If you ever doubt that somebody in this world loves you, know that God loved you so much that at the moment that he breathed creation into existence, that he already knew what he would have to do to save you, to adopt you as his child. So John, he gives us this great truth of who God is. And he shows us that as God, Jesus is the light that overcomes the darkness. In the midst of our hopelessness, he is the light that shines through. And at Christmas time, this light that came to earth, this is what we celebrate, that the light has come. Understand, friends, that darkness tried to win, but it couldn't overcome the light of God's plan. Darkness thought it won. Put Jesus on a cross. And yet in the very act of darkness trying to win, it brought about its own demise, because Jesus being nailed to that cross was all part of God's eternal plan. And as he was there, he bore upon himself our sins, all of our rejection against God, all of the hatred, all of the anger, all of the things that we've done that missed the mark on who we were created to be. It was all poured out on Jesus. God took it on himself and paid the debt that we owed him for our transgression against him, for our going against him and rejecting him and rebelling against him. He paid it all himself. So that as a perfect and just God, his justice could be satisfied. This isn't some kind of weird thing where he picked somebody that would be a sacrifice, but God sacrificed himself. And in darkest, greatest moment of triumph, it was actually its greatest moment of defeat. And then 3 days later, The light rose, victorious over sin, death, and Satan. Jesus could not be held down. Jesus could not be defeated, because he's not just a mere man, but he was God and man, fully both, in the mystery of the incarnation. This is the glorious truth that we celebrate at Christmas time. See, Christmas time looks ahead to Easter. That's what makes it so glorious. It's a time of hope. It's a time of peace, because we know that the war has been won. And yes, we're still at war, but a victory is assured. And even as we wage war against the powers of sin and darkness, we have the peace of Christ in us through his Holy Spirit. So Jesus wants to give you his life, his light, overcoming the darkness and giving you victory in life so that you can be who you were always made to be. See, as we go through darkness, there's this sense in us that things aren't right. Talk to anybody that really pays attention to the world around us, and they'll say there's something not right. Intermixed with these seasons where we look at the mountains and we say they're so beautiful, we have to realize as well that there's also something not right. The mountains are so beautiful, and yet we drive through Frank, where we see the aftermath of one of the deadliest rock slides in Canadian history. There's something not right in the world, because the world lives in darkness, and yet Jesus came as the light to shine into the darkness. Friends, in closing this morning, we need to understand that before the world was created, God's good plan to rescue us was Jesus coming to earth, was the light coming to the world. And elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus tells us that we're not meant to keep the light that he has given just in ourselves, but that we're meant to shine brightly. That we're to be a city on a hill. You can't hide that light. When I've been away for a while, maybe visiting Calgary or driving into Lethbridge to do some shopping, and a lot of you have been here, you drive back after dark and things are really dark, and then all of a sudden you get to Pincher Creek and you look off to the left and you can't miss that. Even if it's a foggy day, you still see light. It's shining in the darkness. It's there. And yet, friends, Pincher Creek, to be quite honest, is a very dark place. It's a dark place. Darkness pervades as we look at people that roam our streets with no hope, stumbling around, thinking that maybe the next paycheck is going to be the thing that makes them happy, that brings them peace. Thinking that that new piece of hunting gear or whatever it may be is going to excite them enough to make the next month worth living. People that are enslaved to their addictions, to their habits, self-medicating. People abusing one another, hating each other. Other people that on the outside seem all good, but really they're just doing life as best as they can as they stumble one step after the other through the darkness. But friends, if you've accepted Jesus in your life, then he's dispelled that darkness. And he calls us to begin to share it with Pincher Creek. We have a vision that the leadership at this church feels called to hear and that we're calling you into, and that is to see 600 people touched with the love of Jesus and 20 new, vibrant, fruitful believers in Jesus by the end of 2020. And friends, by my count, we're at 2. We have 18 to go. We have 18 to go. But praise God that we've got 2. We have 2 years to go, 9 a year. And I praise God that we have the ability to see him work in miraculous ways to bring people who are in darkness to him. But begin to imagine for a second, if we allowed Jesus to come and begin shining light in our dark places and just beginning to pull back the dark spots in our lives and beginning to shine light in those places where there was no hope, where we couldn't see things, where we couldn't see what he had in store for us. And imagine as we share that hope and that life with the people of Pincher Creek, as where once there was darkness, or once there was no hope, where once people didn't know what it was that God wanted for them, that he begins to dispel the darkness, and people begin to see that in fact it is a beautiful world that God has created, that God does, in fact, love us so much that he died for us, and that his plan all along was to cast out the darkness and show us his great love so that people can exist not in darkness, but in Jesus' light. But friends, he's tasked us with a job to do. There's a reason why at this church we repeat time and time again that every one of us is a minister. Every one of us has a ministry, and not one of us is called to be a spectator. It's because if he's given you the light of his life, in your heart, then it's your job to shine brightly. Remember a song that we used to sing in Sunday school? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Sometimes these simple children's songs have so much truth and so much power to them that we need to let our light shine, because the light came into the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God. Praise God. Today, if you're ready to let your light shine or have Jesus shine his light into your life, here's my call to you today for what I want to see you do this week and over the coming weeks, this Christmas season. Receive victory over your darkness by accepting Jesus' light in your life and inviting others to do the same. Receive victory over your darkness by accepting Jesus' light in your life and inviting others to do the same. So maybe you're in this room, or maybe you're online, and this truth of what Jesus has done for you has impacted you. And everything in you says, I need to know more about this. If you want to know more, please make sure that you contact us or chat with me after service. We want to be able to help you make your way towards a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you're here online and you're thinking right now, I'm ready. I want to follow this Jesus. I want him to tear back the darkness in my life and shine his light into me to change me. And know in your life that Jesus changes everything. That anything that you hold sacred right now, that it must be subjected to him. But if you're here right now and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you're ready to put your trust in him and turn from your old way of living and follow him into a new way of living, I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me that's just giving him thanks and committing to him. Pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequence of my sin, but I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Master and as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I place my trust in you from this time forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here and you prayed that prayer today, from your heart, from the first time, I just encourage you to grab one of those blue cards that says, I have decided, from the seat back in front of you, and fill that out. You can place that face down in the offering plate as it goes by in just a moment. Online, if you want to send us a Facebook message letting us know the decision you've made, or go to ascc.life, tap on the Get Connected tile and let us know the decision you've made there. We want to be able to get in touch with you wherever you are right now. Make sure that you're not going through this journey alone. Because we're called the body of Christ, and that means that there are many parts that make the whole, and we're not meant to do this by ourselves. Everyone, will you join me in closing in prayer as the music team makes their way back up here? Heavenly Father, I just thank you today that you do shine in the dark places, that we can trust in you. Lord, that no darkness can overwhelm the light, that even the smallest bit of light in a dark place can show people that there's something there. So Lord, no matter how brightly our light is shining today, we ask that you'll help us to let it shine. And Lord, that you'll stoke the flames in our hearts so that we can shine brightly in this dark world and bring hope to people who desperately need hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.